Hello, everyone. This is James Buckman, and you're now in the History Room. Hope all is well on this wonderful mid-October day for you. Glad you decided to join me today. I'm also known as, I guess, Mr. History. And I think today I just kind of want to talk to you a little bit about what I was looking at when I was looking at the calendar the other day, and there's a lot of interesting history that happened each month. And if you can hear me, I don't know, I'm kind of thumbing through the different pages of the calendar for this year in 2020. Been a unique and interesting year of, you know, how the new year began and how it kind of went from, I guess, great to then just went straight down to just bad. Because I guess by mid to late March of 2020, we went to something that was something we're not used to. And a little over 100 years ago, we dealt with this, which was called the Spanish flu. Back in 1918, 1919, and of course they, you know, use the word Spanish in front of it, and I guess they think, you know, well, I guess it started in Spain, but with, I guess, now there's been evidence for a number of years that, and, you know, several books have been out the last, what, 5 to probably 10 years or more that discuss about, you know, really where it came from. And I guess they're saying it really came from a small town in Kansas where, I guess, army soldiers, I guess, you know, were, you know, up in a small town, and I guess, however, you know, one, you know, got, I guess, flu type symptoms, and which was influenza is what it is, and then I guess how it spread from, I guess, to others, and then of course this person, then, you know, or a couple of soldiers, I guess, go around, and then I guess they move on, and I guess, and they, you know, if they, you know, with the war, I guess, soon to be over, and, you know, in 1918, and, I guess, getting over to Europe and spreading over there, besides it spread in the U.S., and then how it went from there. But, yeah, this is something to do that this type of virus is, you know, comes to us from another country, which, again, they're saying is China. But I want to get off that, really, like, that little that little path and kind of really get into what the main reason why I'm going to talk to you today, and for several minutes here, and again looking at the calendar of the day several days ago, was something that it falls on our calendar, and it's been like that for more than 100 years and more, you know, but it's Columbus Day in honor of Christopher Columbus. And sorry I didn't really tell you about the introduction music, if you ever hear it, but that was music by Dave Brubeck, a famous jazz musician who played the piano, and that was called Take Five, kind of a famous piece. That's kind of the intro to this little podcast I'm giving. But yeah, we're going to kind of just talk, you know, a little bit here about Columbus and you know, with, again, what information I have about him, and, you know, and again, maybe others, and, you know, maybe on, you know, let me know further about this or something like that. Of course we always read that little bitty I guess that because I think there was a nursery rhyme that came out. Not the exact date, I guess. I guess it was in the 20th century, but it would be like it'd start out with where it was. I guess they called it, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. I guess what this little nursery rhyme was, but it says, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He had three ships and left from Spain. He sailed through sunshine, wind, and rain. He sailed by night, he sailed by day. He used the stars to guide his way. 90 sailors were aboard. That's 90 sailors were on board. Some men sailed, I guess, while others snored. Then the workers went to sleep, and the others sailed the ocean deep. Day by day, they looked for land. They dreamed of trees and rocks and sand. And then October 12th, their dream came true. They never saw a happier crew. Then in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And again, that was a nursery rhyme. But again, that first little part I mentioned when I say, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and I guess it's just something that was probably just read and when you were in school, I guess probably in kindergarten or first grade, second grade, and so forth. But Columbus, I know, since what he did, I guess, in 1492, and I guess starting, I guess late August or so, with his three ships, which was the what the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and he was an Italian and born in Italy, in a city called Genoa. That's capital GENOA in Italy, and it was in 1541. I'm sorry, not 1451. I'm sorry with the dates. I should know this, but it's 1451. And he later got involved and lived over, I guess, in Lisbon, Portugal, for a while, and then later got into living in Spain and got involved with, learning how to, make maps and, and how to navigate, I guess, using maps, and eventually learn how to navigate on ships. And I guess at one point, I guess, that Mr. Columbus, and I think sometimes they say maybe his name would have been Columbo or Columba or whatever, but I guess maybe, I guess over the years, I guess in the English language, I guess it got anglicized. But he was a unique individual in world history, no matter what was going on. By 1492, a lot of different events. Again, you can always go and nowadays with having the internet for a number of years, really more than 20 years. But you can, search a search engine like Google and see what you can find, and I'm sure you can find some legitimate websites for finding older books, like one book by a gentleman named Samuel Eliot Morison, and I believe the book he wrote that came out in the 1940s was Admiral of the Ocean Blue, or Ocean Sea, I guess is what it is. I guess Admiral of the Ocean Sea, and that was a biography on Mr. Columbus, and I guess through his whole life, and how Mr. Morrison, I guess a historian, I guess in the early years of the 20th century, up to, I guess into the past the mid 20th century, of writing the book about this. But Mr. Columbus, eventually, we all know that, he was able to. get the ear of, I guess, the Queen of Spain, to let her know kind of his idea of what he was trying to do. And I know there's just different interpretations of maybe he was wanting to find land on the other side of the world. I guess show that that it was not that the whole planet was not flat, and see what he could find, and then discover something for the country of Spain. There were individuals who had navigated, parts of the, Atlantic, and maybe even areas that got toward the Pacific, and learned of other countries and other people that were in the world. And this was a country, Spain and Europe, that was, it was a prominent country. And King and Queen of Spain at that time in the 1490s, were well known. I believe the king was King Ferdinand, and I guess he'd been in power for a number of years, I guess, or so before, 1492. And so it's, I guess, Columbus of it, you think maybe he can get support through them and get, sponsorship, and and be able to get the funds to provide for this expedition that he wanted to do. And was able to get three, again, ships, which, again, I mentioned was the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and get a crew with what he could get, that he could, let the crew, know that what he was trying to not just prove to Spain, but prove to to the whole world. And what he was trying to do for an expedition to see about getting on the other side, and possibly maybe running to maybe a country that, with, I guess, where he was thinking that maybe was possibly China, which had been in existence for several centuries, and getting over that way to see what he could locate, and then bring back evidence back to the King and Queen of Spain, and have, that in mind, besides possibly even bringing the actual Christian religion to the countries over that way. Well, once he's able to actually get all this set up, and I guess get, maybe, I think, any family members with him, besides getting a good crew for these three ships. And then I believe he left sometime maybe end of August of 1492. He heads out that way, and it takes, that month, the rest of August, and then all of September, and into, the, first 10 to, the 13 days in October for that year. And for those number of days, on the ocean and on these ships, after a number of days, I'm sure you can get to a point that you can begin to get a little tired and fatigued and upset and frustrated, because after so many days, I guess, you're not finding land. And I'm sure it's what, like, a lot of the the crew felt. And I'm sure at one point, after like probably 20 to 30 days, they were getting really frustrated. Maybe after 30th day, which would have been sometime in September, but I guess when, with whatever he was doing to tell his crew that he still had to go and keep pursuing and seeing what he could find out there. And then, he finally lands, again, thinking that he's maybe where China is, or maybe a country that was, I guess, to be, near India, and areas that would be south of China. And he actually came and landed in an area that became really what was later on known, I guess, in the world, or some islands that were in an area called the Bahamas. And these islands were near, land that was, larger, and that later became the United States of America. And so with this, and with this, Mr. Columbus being an Italian, and then something I've read that, I think around, like, even though then America became a country in, it might have been an independent country in the mid-1770s, breaking away from England with England's control for numbers of years, besides Spain and France having the full continent, but England having it by the 1770s, and then the people who lived there, when you go forward in time for them, having enough of England, and then within a war beginning with the local people who were the colonial inhabitants of that piece of land that Britain had, after a war was fought, and then the country getting its own independence. Again, this is another story, so I'm really kind of need to get off this little trip and go another talk about this another time. But then, I guess by the time that, an actual constitution was created in the late 1780s, and that making then, went into effect in March, April of 1789, that then we were a country. But I know when 1792 got here, that'd be 4 or 5 years later, that that they were, the country was able to celebrate the 300th anniversary of Columbus landing near America, which was then, one of the islands in the Bahamas. And again, him landing there, and then claiming the island for Spain. But then, in 1792, I guess maybe first observed here in this country as a young new country in 1792 in October, and around, I guess, October 12th, what the calendar was shown, of remembering that day. And I'm sure that over the years into the, that was the 18th century, that in the 19th century, that I guess every time it was observed, I guess they probably had parades during that time, and cities that became like New York City and Philadelphia on the east, and then eventually there would be a U.S. capital that were in those cities that later became the city of Washington and the District of Columbia, and in places like Baltimore and and Maryland and other places south, and maybe places north like in Boston, Massachusetts, that they would probably in the 19th, following the 20th century, that every time, I guess, October 12th would get here, since that became the significant date of when Columbus landed on one of the islands in the Bahamas in 1492, that then, it was just remembered from then on, and having parades in October, and then later on making it a national holiday, I guess, if, more, I think, I'm sure, by the 20th century, as what's on the calendar here in the United States of, the second Monday, to make it a federal holiday. But, I think that over the years they were just, getting parades, were done by Italian organizations and so forth. But also, when he landed, in 1492, there were people are living on the island they came to, and I know Columbus got to know them, and as much as they could, explain, to the local native people or indigenous people, who they are and what they were here for, and hoping to get a good relationship, and that they could get a relationship, with the local people there on the island and the nearby islands. And Columbus did this, the following year he came back and, landed, a little further south of those areas, where he even got near Cuba and landed there, and got to know the actual people who lived there. And then, later on, became, I guess, a, governor or something like that of, those, whatever places. And then, then you jump forward where then you have people in more of the late, probably the 1970s and 80s that look at what Columbus did. And yeah, maybe there were some times he really was not the perfect person or a perfect gentleman of, working with the people where he might have been more controlling and enslaving some of these people, where then you have more individuals who research more about Columbus and get angry about what Columbus did more in the latter part of the 20th century. Because what I can remember looking at a couple of pictures, that I have of where I lived, that, there was a parade that happened because in 1992 in October the 12th or in that time period that there was the 500th anniversary of Columbus landing and that was a big deal then just like it was like in October of 1892 and there was a celebration and I a big one there like we would have had in 1992, but by then, by the the 19 at least 80s, and then when nine and when September, when October that is of 1992 came around, that there were just individuals who then were protesting for the 500th anniversary of the Columbus Day and there were groups that just felt like, no, we're not going to remember him. He was a cruel individual. He was a horrible person. And began, I guess, their own thoughts, the groups and organizations who felt like, nope, we're just going to just say, we're going to call this maybe Indigenous Peoples Day. So that kind of became a big thing. And you can find articles. I mean, I found a recent article this year that was in, I believe it was in, Time magazine and or I'm sorry to get back not Time because there was some in the 1990s about about Columbus and whether he was like one from May of 1992 from a magazine called History Today that's a British magazine and it was titled since that was the big 500th anniversary of Columbus landing near the United States, but it was like called the title was Columbus Hero or Villain, and again it's by an author who gives both sides of what people thought about Columbus from the time he landed in 1492 to what was how people were feeling by the 500th anniversary of his landing, and then also I know recently from June of this year. In 2020, that there was a piece that was written, and it was located on CNN, the cable news network TV that's has a website and that gives news, and it was titled "Christopher Columbus: Why He Wasn't the Hero We Learned About in School," written by Alicia Lee, and she's a like a CNN, correspondent and again kind of starting out where it says in 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue says that rhyme that has been how American students were introduced to Christopher Columbus in elementary school and then students are taught that Columbus is one who discovered the Americas sailing across the Atlantic Ocean in three ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, and this Italian explorer is celebrated every October during a federal holiday named after him. Where it says, but the man credited for discovering the New World has been considered a contentious figure in U.S. history for the treatment of the indigenous communities he encountered and his role in the violent colonization at their expense. And then it goes on from there. And you've got groups that are out of like Alaska or Vermont or Oregon or Minnesota who, have replaced, the name of Columbus Day, and call it Indigenous Peoples Day. And that's what these groups from these states have a right to do. I mean, at least here in the United States, since we can do this, and just the way things are here in America, when we're so used to remembering a man like this, but groups do feel that that he was a very cruel person who really came to conquer the these indigenous people, not just on the islands that would be later the Bahamas, but I guess going down to Cuba and going down there a year later and a couple more years after that. And again, exploring these locations that, that he could, come back to, Spain and then even bring some of these people back to Spain with what was what they found, even, besides people, I guess, bringing any animals, or any kind of like items that could be fruits or vegetables that they could, show to the to the king and queen of Spain of what was found there. And then tell them now that you have land, that your country can claim. And so people look at that and think about it. And then we're living in a time period, and now in 2020, when it's been like this for last several years, of people looking at the history in the United States and thinking like, well, there's a lot of badness in there, and it's just really not that great. And what are we to do when we've got individuals who just we look at more of the bad side than the good side when there are just groups that feel this way. And yeah, there's been a lot of rioting lately, and I'm not getting into that right now about this and this this broadcast that I'm doing, but just saying that now people are going around and tearing down statues and of well-known people, and there have been some Columbus statues that, again, groups are tearing down, or they're taking the head off, beheading these statues of people like Columbus, thinking again, he was an evil, horrible person, and it's just gotten more and more. But other than that, it's just, again, a person has a right to, give their opinion and views about, well, he was bad, he was doing this for Spain, he was a European, and many of the Europeans were of a lighter skin color within others who are maybe of other colors. And again, I'm not trying to get this into, go down any kind of path of this where people just kind of had issues about this, but of other color. And but or then you look at future things that how America's had to fight things that are, again, it's got a lot of dark history there, like a lot of history does overall. But there is some good history in anywhere you go. I know the bad is always just always emphasized more. But other than that, there's just, even as reading this and then reading more and more things about Columbus, not just, finding out one about, who he was, and even like, finding something from, online on different encyclopedias where, one titled Columbus Day and it's discontents, and I guess talking about things about, was it a, is it a good day to still remember, about a man who came to, an area that was, not actually landing on the actual United States continent, but living, landing near some islands nearby, and then thinking like, well, he's here to take over control, put the local native or indigenous people, enslave them and control them, And like I said, again, with what I understand and what I've heard, yeah, maybe he did some things he shouldn't have done, and he wasn't a good, maybe, administrator like he should have been, which maybe all he knew was just mostly, I guess, be involved in, making maps and knowing the sea and sailing ships and then exploring, but maybe he had some areas that he lacked that he should have worked on more. But these just again just some thoughts about who this man was, and since the few days back passed, and it kind of that do we still want to remember him or not, and kind of with the days of what our country's going through right now for 2020, and we probably need to look at the whole big picture of what's out there with history, and now that over the years that history gets rewritten by newer generations, that things that might have happened in the early parts of the 20th century, I'm sure by the 1950s, which would be the middle part of the century, that people were writing things that that with what they study, and they were historians or writers, whoever, that did their own interpretation, because it's all about a person's own perspective and what their viewpoints and interpretations of what they think history is, and if they're writing the right thing or they're putting a spin on it or whatever. But that's just kind of how it is. And then by the end of the the 20th century, before the 21st century that we're in, that that people then will start writing things like in the 1990s and right at 2000 to 2001 about what happened during World War II, and which was in the 1940s, late 1930s into the 1940s, and up to the mid 1940s when that war ended, and what was going on back then, and then people writing things in the, I guess, 1980s, 1990s, now in the 2000s about what happened in World War II, just like you could, what historians at that time, would be writing about World War II, the war they fought, which is Korea War, and what they thought about it some, couple of decades later, and then even writing stuff about World War I, that it's newer thoughts about that war before World War II, and it was a lot different than World War II, but it all just comes down, I guess, of each individual's perspective and viewpoints of what they see, history, and then if they lived in a time of history, and then maybe later in life as a much older person, they write something and say, yeah, I was around when this happened, and I was a child, or I was a teenager, or I was a young adult, in college, or had my own family working somewhere, and this event happened, and I saw it from a distance, and this is, my thoughts as a much, much older person, as that I'm much older, and this is what happened, and with if we all get to be around the world for live for a number of years in this world, that that there'll be events happening every year, and good and bad, and I know mostly bad, and it's going to be up to kind of the news to tell us the original, what happened. But then if we have an interest in it, we'll start looking into it if we can get access to, any kind of like books or documents or records that we can understand it, besides maybe we lived it during that time, but again, we saw it from a distance, and then we did more research and stuff than writing it down ourselves. But I just want to get back to really about Columbus, because I know he gets more and I guess controversial over the decades, and I guess since I guess the last time we had a big celebration, which was in October of 1992, which I remember. And I'm sure again people were then by then it's like, oh no, he's evil, he's wrong, he should have never come to the area that became like little islands that were near the United States, and he should have just never conquered that and taken it. But then others who look at it, whether they're Italian, and say, yeah, it's great that an Italian, because I'm Italian, and they would say, and I'm glad we have some data to remember this, but just kind of a perspective of what goes on with history today, and how it always is with, and it does seem to always get, repeated, because again, overall, as human beings, we don't seem to want to, try to learn from it, but we need to really read our history, and which again is good and bad, whether it's political history in this country, or it's history of social issues, or economic issues and all forth in this country and so forth, you know, and many different issues at all worlds, you know, or really, I guess, all countries, that is, in this world, you know, experience, you know, because every country's got its unique history of what it's gone through, and it seemed like, you know, they've all seemed to have their own civil wars, like we had in America in the 19th century, which is, you know, close to the middle part of the 19th century, you know, what it went on for about 4 years. But really, when it comes down to Columbus, they're just bringing it up that, you know, his kind of day came around a couple days ago on the calendar, and just get this little brief little broadcast about who he was, and what he accomplished, and then just, you know, how things kind of went from there of how it built up, and you know, and to then later, you know, more explorers would come from Spain, and I'm sure Portugal, and France, and England, and so forth from like I said, was called the Old World. You know, or anybody came from Italy, and then so forth, and then just coming to the future North American continent that later had the United States of America, and then north of all that would be Canada, where that was explored, and again, it was all on the coast, and that went from like Columbus coming, really, you know, to like, you know, other explorers in the, the 16th century, which would be the 1500s, and then the 17th century, which is the 1600s, and then we get into the 18th century, which is the 1700s. So, with by then more and more people coming to the eastern part of the of Northern America, and again, you know, you had others who then went further south to a country that's south of the United States called Mexico, and you know, explorers that came from, you know, the countries from, you know, Europe that came over here, you know, to explore there. So, and then further, that went further south, that became the countries in the South American continent, you know, with the countries that built up there, whether they came from Spain or France or Portugal or England and, you know, and Italy and so forth, you know, the countries that could have ships and have explorers and have the kings and queens provide the, you know, support and money and everything for these explorers to go do this. So, you know, but there were people prior to Columbus, you know, I mean, there were groups of people who lived, I think, and they were maybe more if it was around maybe, you know, Iceland and things like that, and Greenland, who you know, are also, you know, near, you know, Europe. That, you know, sending explorers, and they may have said these were groups that came around in like 1000, you know, AD, and it would be, you know, like probably like 400 years before Columbus got here, and the groups are known as Vikings, you know, so there were explorers that, and possibly there were even explorers prior to that, but mostly I guess it's from the from that group, from the Greenland and Iceland area, or anything, it might have come maybe from the future countries of, you know, Norway or Sweden, that could be to come out that way. But it just kind of built up from, you know, at least from, I'm sure, from that time until like, you know, Columbus explorers checking other countries out, and they're, you know, doing it for their own self-desire and for maybe the country. So, and then how it built up with having explorers who want to explore other places besides their own area. Because you would think that there are individuals who are out there wanting to explore, you know, newer places and newer things, and maybe learn from other societies and other groups of people that are out there besides what, you know, the group that lives in Europe or where they're from, that want to, you know, like they know what their society is there and how their economy is, that they want to say, hey, let's explore the places, and you know, and how people, you know, like, just I guess on the other side of the planet, where you had like, you know, people, I guess, people who lived in China and India and all that stuff, if they sent out explorers too to come maybe to, you know, areas that later became, you know, the western part of the United States and stuff, and you know, finding places like Alaska, you know, that later became, you know, part of the United States, you know. But other than that, just how, you know, countries do this. So, but just kind of focus on Columbus here, and what I've talking about this broadcast, and something just to really look into and research more. And there are books like this one I mentioned called the one by I guess Samuel Eliot Morris son. I think it came out in the 1940s, early 1940s, and called Admiral of the Ocean Sea. And I'm sure it's out there that you could find either, in an actual printed book or, maybe in your local library, or you can order the book or see if it's online. But just, and then I'm sure there's other, books prior to that that was written, in the 19th century about Columbus. But it's just somebody to learn about, know who he was, and again, what we observe here in the United States of America, no matter what is known as that, either Columbus Day that's observed here in the United States, and or they have another names like maybe the Indigenous Peoples Day, when there's groups who don't want to call it Columbus. And then we do have several places of a lot of Columbus statues where there'd be like a full statue of Columbus on a ship or standing near a large, globe of the world, or or maybe like a kind of just kind of a bust would be from, from the shoulders all the way up to the head of Columbus, and places and cities in the United States that are named for him. And or small towns or so forth. But other than that, he's a unique individual, and hope you kind of like my little thoughts about who he was as a person, and when he's remembered here every year on October 12th, of the day it's observed. So go out if you can and learn more with what you can learn about Christopher Columbus and who he is, and you can get your own perspective and your own thoughts about him. And again, you were listening to me, known as Mr. History, and Mr. Bachman, and hope you enjoy this here at the History Corner, where I'm here at my history table talking about history, and hope you'll come back for more fun lessons about history and in the United States, and learn from many things what I can give you. Well, hope you enjoy and have a great day, and enjoy this little broadcast I provided for you.